I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and open them up to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to keep them open if you have them, because I want to be referring to a lot of scripture tonight. You know, in the Hebrew, the name Proverbs means the rules. And so Proverbs is a sort of a rule book that God has given us how to conduct our life. And there's a lot of verses in Proverbs, as you read it, where God connects a promise to a principle. He says, you do this and this will happen. You do this and this will happen. So there's some very positive verses. There's also some very negative verses in Proverbs that says, hey, if you do this, this is going to happen. And so, again, he's trying to teach us how to live. And as I mentioned Sunday, tonight I'm going to spend our time together talking about what Proverbs says about money. Money is a subject that some preachers stay away from, but I would tell you that the Bible has a lot to say about it. And if you were going to list the things that cause problems in life, money would be near the top of the list. It may not be number one, but it'll be up there in the top three. And there's different problems that people have with money. I mean, there's some people that love money too much. I mean, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And when people lust after material things, it can cause problems. Then there's the misuse of money or material things. You know, a lot of people say, well, if I'm faithful in my tithe and give offerings, that's what God expects of me, and whatever's left over, I can do with whatever I want. That's not right. God expects us to please him in what we do with the rest of it, and he's just as interested as how we spend the rest of it, and wants us to please him in our expenditure as the rest of it, as he is in us being obedient and tithing and showing him our love by giving him our offerings. And so don't think that, well, if I've tithed and if I've given my offering, then whatever I want to do with the rest of it, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. And everything we have, money, material things, God wants us to use it to please him. So the misuse of money, material things. And then there's people that are just inattentive to their money. They don't pay any attention to it. They don't know where it goes. Some of them don't know where it comes from. And that's, again, that's not pleasing to God. In the 31 chapters of Proverbs, there's 915 verses. And one in every 15 verses talk either about money or material things. There's 135 verses in Proverbs that talk about this. So I hope you brought snacks tonight, because we're going to be here for a while. Just kidding. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you 12 different principles, and I'm just going to be quick. And we're going to turn and we're going to read from the book of Proverbs the verses, some of the verses that are behind those principles. But I'd like to get through all 12 of them, because I think they're all good. The first one is this: ill-gotten gain is not good gain. Ill-gotten gain is not good gain. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says this: my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Here's a young man that's being invited to join a conspiracy to go out and gain, to get that precious substance that they'll fill their house with, the spoils, and in a dishonest, wicked way. And at the beginning, the King Solomon, as he writes Proverbs under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, if they come after you to do that, don't do it. Consent thou not. Ill-gotten gain is not good gain. Look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is set in the sight of any bird. And they wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. God said if we have the attitude, if we lust after material things, if we lust after money, eventually we're just setting traps for ourselves. We're going to fall. Ill-gotten gain is not going to be enjoyed. It will lead to our downfall. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Don't lust after things that maybe other people have or you think that you've got to have. Don't covet it, because if you think about it long enough, pretty soon you're going to do something that's dumb to get it. It may not only be dumb, but it may be not right and dishonest. So, ill-gotten gain is not good gain. It says over in chapter 10, don't turn to it because I'm going to progress in order, but in chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 2, it says, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The treasures of wickedness profit nothing. God is concerned about how we gain wealth. And he says, don't do it in a dishonest, wicked way, because it'll come to naught. It'll come to naught. Okay, number two, wealth is not as important as character and wisdom. Look at chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof from fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now remember, God used Solomon to write the book of Proverbs, and you remember it was Solomon who God came to and said, hey, ask me for anything you want, and I'll grant your request. And you remember, Solomon did not ask for long life. He did not ask for military power. He did not even ask for wealth. He asked for wisdom. And as he's writing this book, he says, listen, I'll tell you, more important than silver and gold, more important than the rubies and all the precious things that you will desire is to have wisdom and understanding. To know how to order your life, to live your life in a way that's pleasing to God. Now, and I got another principle in a minute. He's not saying here that the pursuit of wealth and the pursuit of material things is wrong. We're going to talk about it in a minute, and we sing about it. I'm a child of the King. The King owns everything, and he wants us to enjoy the things that he's put here for us. But that's not our primary goal. Our primary goal is to live our life in a way that's pleasing to God. And if we're blessed material, that's sort of like icing on the cake. And so wisdom and understanding about knowing how to please God is more important than wealth. Principle number three, stewardship is the key principle for true prosperity. Still in chapter 3, look at verse 9 and verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And notice how it starts. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's everything you have. That's everything you have. It's the money in the bank. It's the car that you have. It's the house that you live in. It's your dishwasher. I mean, it's everything. It's everything you have. And God says, honor the Lord with that. And then he says, and with the first fruits of all thy increase, that's talking about the tithe, the first fruits. God doesn't want what's left over. He wants it from the top of the pile, so to speak. And what the principle is, if we do that, if we honor God with our tithes, and then with the rest that we have, if we honor him with that, and again, if we live our life using those things that God has given us in a way that's pleasing to him, he says, our barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so God says, put me first, and you try to please me, and I will bless you. Now, I'll point out to you tonight, everybody doesn't have the same size barn. There's different size barns. I mean, don't think, well, if I tithe and I honor God in all my substance, I'm going to be as rich as Gates and Buffett and all those other guys. No. You see, God knows how big our barns is. You remember the rich man that Jesus talked about? He planted crops and he got a bountiful harvest. And he says, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to fill them up. I'm going to eat, drink, and be happy. And God came to him and says, thou fool. You're a fool. Tonight, you're going to die. And he died. God knows how big our barns is. He will not give us more than will fill up our barn. Because he knows we can't handle it. And he will not do that. I heard not too long ago about a guy that won he was the single winner of the biggest jackpot in the lottery. And he was a church-going guy. And he vowed to give, you know, a bunch of his winnings to church. And then you go and you read what's happened in his life since then. The thing I was reading about was his granddaughter tried to commit suicide. Because he had given her so much money, she had lost all her true friends, and life didn't mean anything to her. And there was somebody that, you know, in a wicked way, ended up getting wealth that God knew he couldn't handle, and ended up destroying his life and the life of his family. So honor God in everything that we have. He'll bless us. All right, number four. Avoid putting yourself at risk by standing good for somebody else's debt. Chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Let me just put it in today's language. If somebody asked you to co-sign a loan, it would probably be better not to do it. God doesn't say, he doesn't command us not to do it. He says, if thou be surety. But what he's saying is, it'd probably be better if you didn't. Because he says, and notice what he says, first chapter 6, verse 1, if thou be surety for a friend, go down to verse 5, deliver thyself as a roll from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. What he's saying is, if you did, get out of it as quick as you can. Run like a deer from a deer hunter. Run like a bird from somebody that's trying to trap birds. Get out of it as quick as you can. And again, I don't think God prohibits it, but he says, if you can avoid it, it'd probably be best to avoid it. And you can probably give me examples, like I can give you examples, of people that have co-signed for other people, and they've defaulted on the loan, and the co-signer had to step in, and I've known it to break up families, I've known it to break up friendships, and again, it'd probably be better if we just didn't do it. All right, principle number 5. God is for private ownership of property, and he looks very unfavorable when people mess with it. Look at chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. So here's what the Bible's saying. If you catch somebody stealing, what God says, they ought to have to pay it back 7 times. You say, well, that doesn't sound very fair. If they stole $100, why should they pay back $700? And why, as it says in that verse, it says, he shall give all the substance of his house to do it. In other words, if somebody steals $100 and they got to pay back 7 and they got to go sell their TV to pay back the 7, God says they ought to do it. God says that's how you deter people from stealing. You make them pay it back. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't think God is pleased when we coddle criminals. Three strikes and you're out may be okay for baseball, but we ought to deal with the crime the first time it happens, as opposed to wait until the third time. And so I think you see the severity with which God wants it dealt with in these verses. If you steal something, they ought to pay it back seven times. Principle number six, it's okay to pursue material things. Go to chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It's not wrong to work hard and to pursue or go after, get material things. They all belong to God. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And if you work and want to buy material things, there's nothing wrong with that. In verse 5 of that same chapter, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." And so God gives us the ability to work. He gives us the ability to get nice things for ourselves and for our families. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, God's pleased with that. Again, he's pleased with how we use it, and we need to use it, you know, in a way that's pleasing to him. You know, I was thinking about this, and I told somebody at work today. When I was a kid, and the reason I mentioned dishwashers a moment ago because it was on my mind. When I was growing up, when we was a kid, we had three dishwashers in my house. Me, my brother, and my other brother. We didn't have one of these things that plugged in. My mom would usually do the washing, and one of us would get picked to do the drying. And as we got older, we got drafted into doing the washing. And here's what I was thinking about. You know, I spent a lot of, as I look back on it, now I didn't enjoy it at the time, but when I was drying the dishes, my mom and I talked. We talked about anything and everything. And I sort of feel sorry for the kids today who's got all these dishwashers because they're sort of not trapped with their mom at the sink and have to learn how to talk. And maybe it'd be good, you know, one night a week if you got a couple kids just to, and I know moms, you probably don't want to do this, but, you know, not use the dishwasher and just wash so you can talk to each other. But, and again, I digress because as I was thinking about that, I had to find a different way to interact with my mom when we quit doing dishes. And I can remember one time, there was something going on in my life where I went home and I said, "Mom, could we do the dishes by hand tonight?" And we did. And she helped me. So I didn't mean to digress. Okay, so it's okay to pursue material things. Number 7, honesty in business is encouraged and blessed. Chapter 11, verse 1, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." All right, so let me give you some examples. If you got a 1984 car you're trying to sell, don't advertise it as a 1990. If it's got 200,000 miles on it, don't tell the guy it's only got 100,000 miles on it. That's what it means by false balances and false weight. You know, just be honest in your business. You say, "Well, preacher, it's a dog-eat-dog world, an honest person's not going to make it." Yes, they will, because God promises to bless honesty. And I think business people or people in general that base their business dealings on honesty will succeed because God will bless them. Principle number 8, an honest day's work merits a full day's pay. Chapter 12, verse 11 says this, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." And in verse 14 of that same chapter, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him." So, an honest day's work merits a full day's pay, and vice versa. A full day's pay merits an honest day's work. It goes both ways. And one of the ways that those of you that are still working, one of the ways that we can have a good testimony in the workplace is to give an honest day's work for a full day's pay. Principle number 9, don't measure your life by your bank account or the lack of it. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. You may have a lot, you may not have much, but your life should not be evaluated or judged by you. I'm talking about you, not somebody else, but by you, based on material things. We can buy all sorts of things. Some people can buy all sorts of things. But the things that are most valuable in life cannot be bought. Now, here's why I include this principle. For the past couple weeks, I've heard a couple of our children make the comment, well, we're poor. And I thought to myself, no, you're not. Both of the kids from two different families, they got a mom and dad that love them. They have a house to live in. They got clothes on their back, and they got food on the table. And I thought about the thousands and thousands and thousands of children around the world and then in this country. I mean, just to have mom and dad together that love them is more valuable than being able to buy them a Corvette when they graduate, or give them all the other toys. And listen, don't just because you don't have a big bank account, don't think of yourself as poor. I mean, if you have a family, and you have your basic needs met, you're rich. You are rich. You are rich, and you should consider yourself rich in the sight of God. And in reality, if you compare yourself to people around the world, you are living in the top percentage of rich people in the world. You are. And how we think about wealth and how we think about what God has given us. Hey, with God as our Father, as we sang about, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. You know, my mom and dad didn't have much. And my dad had to work two jobs. My mom usually worked two jobs. And you know, I was lucky I was the oldest because I got to wear the clothes first and then they were handed down to the other two. But listen, I never, ever thought we were poor. I didn't think we were rich, but we got to do a lot of fun things. And I had a mom and dad that loved me. I had a place to sleep. I had clothes to wear. What more could a person want? I mean, really, what more could a person want? And we are, so don't measure your life by what you have and what you don't have. Principle number 10, don't keep making the same dumb mistakes over and over. Verse 18 of that 13th chapter. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. We need to learn from instruction. We need to learn from our mistakes. I've known people that have gotten in trouble with their credit cards. And they finally got out and they said, well, I've had to cut them up and I just can't carry credit cards in my billfold or in my purse. And I try not to carry too much cash because if I carry a credit card, I'm going to use it. And if I carry cash, I'm going to spend it. All right. And let me just tell you, grow. Credit cards are not bad. I mean, they're convenient. Now, if you can't control it, cut it up. But you need to grow and learn from your mistake and have discipline in your life so you can carry a credit card, so you can carry cash. And it's almost an indictment against ourselves when we say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So learn from your mistakes. Learn from instructions. Principle number 11. Cheating to win makes the winning feeling go away. Chapter 20. I'm going to hurry. I'll be done in just a minute. chapter 20, verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. So you cheat, and it tastes pretty sweet. But afterwards, it turns to gravel. Just get that picture in your mind. I got a jelly-filled donut with cream on top. I take my first bite, and then it turns into gravel. That's what God's saying. If you're going to cheat to win, the winning feeling won't last long. Okay, and in principle number 12, God is the God of the rich and the poor. Chapter 22, verses 2 and 4. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And again, everything we have comes from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And our attitude toward money and toward material things is important to God. It's one of the ways we please Him or displease Him. If we're covetousness, if we covet what other people have, if we lust after those things, and that leads to dishonesty, of course we're not pleasing God. But if we operate our life with honesty and integrity and put God first and try to please Him, not only with the tithes and the offerings, but with the things, the rest that He gives us, that brings honor to Him, that pleases Him. And so I would just say, again, enjoy what God's given you. Enjoy it. Don't live your life looking at somebody else and saying, boy, I wish what they had. I wish I had what they had. That's a sure recipe for dissatisfaction. You won't enjoy the stuff you have if you're always wishing for what somebody else has. And I preached on that principle before. You can be happy one of two ways. You can get what you want, but I found from dealing with people, if that's what makes you happiness, brings you happiness, you're never happy, because once you get something, you want something else. And then you want something else, and then you want something else. So you're either happy by getting what you want or wanting what you got. And if you want what you got, that's a sure success for happiness, because that's what God's given us. And again, don't take me wrong. I think God wants us to work. I think He wants us to enjoy the things that He's put in this world. That's why He put them here, for us. I mean, He made the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. He said, enjoy it. I made it for you. And everything that He's put in this world is for us. And He wants us to enjoy it. But He wants us to have the right attitude toward it, and He wants us to work to get it. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.